Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SRF Limited Q3 FY16 conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Securities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Modi from Motilal Oswal Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aman. Thank you, Aman. We at Motilal Oswal are extremely pleased to host this call for 3Q FY16 results for SRF Limited. From the management, we have Mr. Rajendra Prasad, President and CFO, Mr. Rahul Jain, Senior VP, Treasury and Corporate Controller, Mr. Mukund Trivedi, Head of Corporate Communications. I will hand it over to Mr. Mukund Trivedi for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's Q3 and 9-month financial year 2015-16 results conference call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President and CFO, Mr. Rajendra Prasad, following which we'll have the forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Prasad to make his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SRF's regular quarterly results call. I thank you all for taking the time to participate in it. To start with, I will give you a broad overview and key highlights for the quarter and 9 months of FY16. As you are aware, our practice is not to dwell too much on the figures in this portion of the call, and we leave the figures to come up during the question and answer sessions. Post my opening remarks, we will have the floor open for Q&A, where I would be glad to address any queries that you may have. As always, I will keep my initial remarks brief so that we can have a healthy and elaborate Q&A session. But before I get into the meat of the call, I would like to introduce Anoop Joshi. He is here on this call. He is presently the company secretary and the head of legal and taxation as well. So, Anoop.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, so Anoop is here, and I also have my team of analysts in case certain things arise which need to be looked into, the data for which needs to be looked into. So on the outset, I would like to inform you that I will be retiring this March. Mr. Anoop Joshi, who has just introduced himself, has been appointed as Chief Financial Officer. He's already the company secretary, effective 1st April of this year. Anoop has vast experience of over 33 years in various spheres of finance and accounting. He has been with SRF for the last 30 years, and I wish him well and the very best for this job after March 31st. Secondly, the board in its meeting yesterday also approved an interim dividend of rupees 5 per share. You know it is a practice to give and to distribute interim dividends. We've been doing this in the past, so we normally distribute 2 interim dividends, and we've done this year as well. Earlier in August 2015, the company had declared its dividend of rupees 5 per share. Moving on to the results, we are pleased with the financial performance for the quarter. Some businesses have outperformed, while certain external environmental issues adversely impacted some of our businesses. This reiterates time and again that diversified businesses across geographies are one of our key strengths and help to balance out both earnings and profits, revenues and profits. We continue to maintain stable top line despite sliding commodity prices, especially crude-based inputs, which mainly impacted the technical textiles and packaging films. Let me begin by giving you an update on the chemicals and polymer segment. As I had informed last quarter, we have seen a rebound in our specialty chemical business. even though there is some softness in the agro industry globally, and we continue to concentrate on pharma side as well. And let me also tell you at this point that the softness in the agro business will continue for some time. Recently, I have a report which I have discussed, but I don't have it with me at the moment, is that the projections are that whoever does well today in agro is actually doing very well because there is global softness in this part of the economy. In this regard, we recently commissioned a dedicated plant for manufacturing specialty chemicals at a cost of 43.73 crores. So this capex had been approved earlier this year, and now that's been commissioned. I would also like to reiterate here that specialty chemicals is not a quarter-on-quarter business, which I've stated before as well, and we should keep this in mind while discussing results. The packaging film business continues its outperformance in a subdued global and domestic environment, and where we are running at full capacity in all our plants. As I had shared on the last call, we are focusing on expanding our market base. Another point to note here is that we continue to enhance our product mix by adding new value-added products, which in turn also improve margins and profitability, and which is quite apparent in the results of this segment if you compare it with certain other results which have been announced. As you know, our cost of production is one of the lowest in the country, and that is an operational excellence has been our forte in the past, and we continue to improve on it. And that actually gets manifested in better profitabilities as we go along. As you know, we continue to diligently work with our big clients to promote the chemically coated films, which are non-plain vanilla. And I've actually earlier explained the difference between plain vanilla and films which are not plain vanilla. The contribution from our international operations continues to be positive. South Africa has been a total turnaround story after the first year after commissioning. In South Africa, our efforts to improve efficiencies, streamline our cost structures, and renegotiate contracts to achieve better realizations have borne fruit, not only last quarter, but this quarter as well. We aim to increase our domestic sales where we get a higher realization. In Thailand, we continue to be the largest and the most efficient player. The situation, even though the situation there is quite tough, the global BOPET market is flooded with surplus capacities. Nonetheless, our plant runs at over 100% capacity, and we are able to realize margins which leave us money on the table as well. Coming to the technical textile business, as mentioned earlier, weaker commodities and rains in Chennai affected the business performance. We had to shut the plant for around 30 days due to floods in Chennai, which had translated to a loss of approximately 10 crores. Normal operations are being revived in phases. We've been putting out announcements on the exchange as well, giving regular updates. So the plant itself has started from, I think, December 25th, and we've been commencing operations in sections of the plant, and the progress made is very, very creditable considering the impact of floods and the degree of impact this plant suffered. There is some pressure on NTCF demand. It's very soft, so I can't even say that NTCF demand is robust, and the plant was affected as well. The NTCF demand is a little sluggish. We are also working towards enhancing operational performance of other segments as well. As you can decipher from the results, we continue to improve our internal efficiencies and aim to be the lowest cost manufacturer across product ranges, which has led to an improvement in the bottom line performance. Given the subdued macroeconomic environment, we believe the Q3 results performance is commendable. Now, while this addresses the quarter, let me reiterate that the larger story, the commitments that we made about the annual performance, by and large, remain unaffected. So the way I see it, and I've been discussing with various analysts and my peers in other companies, in today's time and age of difficult economic scenario, if we are able to meet and deliver the commitments that we made at the beginning of the year, and at times even 2 years ago, I remember this our profit expectation for March 16, profit after tax, has been doing the rounds for at least 2 years. And in spite of the setbacks like the sluggish economy and the Chennai floods, we are able to meet those performance standards and financial results. I think there is a lot to say for that. And I think the company broadly remains on track. It is doing what it tells you that it will do. And that story has not been impacted in any manner. So that remains, and I think it will continue. That is my own impression. Now, after this, I think, Chintan, will invite questions, and we'll do our best to answer the questions as openly and honestly as possible.
Sure.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question from line of Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Ritesh here. My question is on the chemical side. So, 24% growth on revenue side. Could you just give us a sense that how's the split like? How refrigerants have grown and how specialty chemicals have grown? And if agri has been slow, what has driven the growth for specialty chemicals? So that's my first question. Secondly, on the impact of technical textiles from floods. Or impact on technical textiles from floods. Could you, it's 10 crores or it's, so there is a 25 crore sort of a decline in, on EBIT, 20 to 25 crore decline on EBIT. So you're saying that 10 crores is due to floods and 10, 15 crores is due to other operational reasons. So if you could touch upon that as well.
Yeah, okay. The chemical business, if you recall last time, the analyst community and some of the investors were a little disappointed with the specialty chemical piece in the total chemical business. This time, specialty chemicals have come to the market, have come to the table, and have performed and made up for most of the growth. Now, if you compare it with last year, the same quarter in the last year, even the chemical business on its own has grown. So while the growth is 23%, it is quite evenly distributed. And I must also remind you that this has another small business of engineering plastics. So between the two of them, I cannot say that it will be that specialty chemicals has grown 23 and chemicals has grown 23. Each has grown 23. That is not the case. Specialty chemicals has grown much more than chemical business. Chemical business, that is the fluorochemical business, which constitutes primarily the refrigerant gases and chemical and chloromethanes, that has got impacted on 2-3 counts. One and primary is that the export of the prices realized on export of R22 have got impacted. Now, here I would like to explain what happens. As you know, the quota regime has come into place from 2016. So what happens is the manufacturing and the consumption quota of R22 in each country is defined. Now in India, the manufacturing piece is much larger than the consumption piece. So the consumption quota for India is about 10,000 tons. the manufacturing capacities in India, which are under the quota, are 40,000 tons. So what happens is the balance amongst all manufacturers needs to be exported. There are some manufacturers where the gap between what they produce and what they can sell in India is rather large. In our case, that is not the case, because what happens is that we use R22 for our own consumption as well at about 3,500 tons. So between what I can sell internally, sell domestically, and what I can transfer to my own units for specialty products, I have very little left to sell in exports. There are other manufacturers who have a larger volume which they need to export. So the prices overseas have been rather soft. So our realization on exported R22 has been low. That is one. The other reason for export prices being low is China also has the same problem of domestic consumption and domestic manufacturing. So they also have a whole lot of bulk which they can export because their capacities of R22 are rather high. So the net result is that the prices relies on export are really, really soft. While the domestic prices are high, but the quantities that you can sell internally are limited. So that has been one. The other is that the chloromethanes part of the chemical business has also not been at its best. So there has been a softening of prices even in the chloromethanes, especially methyl dichloride. So overall, the chemical business has not grown at the same rate as the rest of the as the specialty chemicals. Plus, last time I had mentioned to you that some orders for last quarter were deferred to this quarter, and those supplies took place in this quarter, so which also shows up as growth of this quarter rather than as growth of last quarter. So if you were to actually distribute that piece into last quarter, the growth here would not actually appear to be 23, but which is 23 now. So that is as far as, and the other impact also has been that if you recall, in March 15, the distribution between specialty chemicals and fluorochemicals along with engineering plastic was approximately 50-50. The total business was about 1,240 odd crores, of which 600 crores was specialty chemicals and 600 odd was engineering plastics and chemical business. In this quarter specifically, this proportion has changed, where the ratio of chemical, of specialty chemicals to chemical business in this quarter has changed because of this growth being higher in specialty chemicals. While if I see the 9 months split between the two businesses, it remains at about 44 and 55%. 44 is chemicals and about 55 odd is specialty business. So the growth here in this quarter has come out of, now why has this growth come or how has it come? Agro business still remains in a weak state. So what happened is once we realized that the agro business and the orders are not coming through, we had to make the most of the opportunity and offer our facilities to produce whatever could be done on an opportunistic basis. So there were situations where, let's say, we were our buyers saw certain potential in their end products, that they could see a spike in consumption. So it was out of trend, but they thought that they can see a spike in their output. We identified it with them. So they thought that we would not be able to produce, so they gave us demanding time targets, that can you supply it in 60 days? And because we knew the writing on the wall, we actually took the challenge and supplied it to them in the defined period. So what has happened is it was purely an opportunistic transaction, and at the same time it helped our customers, it helped us, and one or two such cases have actually turned the specialty chemical business around. The other piece is the growing story of pharma. So, but you know that we have commissioned a plant on January 31st, about the 43 crore commissioning. And that is dedicated to an intermediate product that we will make for the final product, which is a pharma product. And something that has not been reported on the exchange because according to our own guidelines on materiality, it's a capex of 48 crores. And that capex has not been reported on the stock exchange. That capex is a dedicated pharma plant. And the previous capitalization I spoke about is the input to the new plant which we have now approved in the board meeting. So there are two stories. One is a 43 commissioning which has taken place, and there's a 48 crores approval of capex, both linked to each other. Now, till now we were making this pharma product in a multi-purpose plant, but because the demand has been good, we have decided to make a dedicated plant for this particular product and release the MPP, multi-purpose plant, for other products. What happens is, if the demand of a product goes up, which is being produced in an MPP, it actually blocks the MPP from other products being made. So there's a whole queue of products which smaller quantities we would have made in MPP, but we can't because we are making a larger quantity product. So it blocks the plant and blocks the progress of the other products. So by setting up this dedicated plant of 48 crores, we'll be able to use the MPP for other products and reduce the cost of this pharma product also because it is coming out of a dedicated plant. So this also further underlines our emphasis on pharma. So there were two, three such things which actually happened and which boosted the performance of specialty chemicals. And the story on specialty chemicals, I think, still remains intact. And the way I see it is, if in a bad agro market, we continue to do so well, in a good agro market, I think we should do better once the agro market and the agro cycle turns. Now, the second question is on TTB, the impact on Manali. Now, impact has come on basically three accounts. So if you see, the difference is something like 23 crores if you were to compare quarter on quarter between 42 and 18. Now, it has come on the three accounts that I mentioned. One is that the plant was shut down practically for the whole month. So at the EBIT, level, the impact is about 10 crores. Okay. Now, so this is because the plant didn't produce and nothing could be made. So this is one. The other is, there were losses of stock and basically raw material, finished goods, and spare parts and machinery. Now, while we are confident that our insurance claim will be realized according to what we have presented, in most of the insurance policies, there's a minimum deductible clause. So as a result of that clause, some part of the losses will not be compensated or reimbursed by the insurance company, which we think is in the region of 3 to 4 crores. So that aggregates about 14 crores. At the same time, there has been a softening of prices as well. So as the rupee depreciated, the buyers did not let suppliers like us take full benefit of that rupee depreciation. So part of it got shaved off in the margin. So let's say the margin earlier was $1.80 per kilo. Thereafter it became $1.75. So the 5 cents got shaved off. So there was a weakness in demand. There was a reduction in margin. There was a 10 crore impact on profit because of floods. And there was a 3 to 4 crore non-realization of insurance because of a deductible, minimum deductible amounts. These 3-4 items would probably constitute about 21 or 23 crores, which is the difference. Now, let me also at this point connect it with what changes or what have we done to get back Manali plant online. from 25th December, there was one particular buyer who was entirely dependent on us. So we actually went out of our way and tried extra hard to be able to ensure that that buyer does not have to stop it, his lines. And from 25th December, we commissioned what is the rear end of the plant, which is a dipping plant. So we were able to dip certain fabric and supply to that buyer so that he could continue making tires. Then the other piece, if you go upstream from the reverse end, so last is dipping, and then before that is making the fabric. So the fabric piece has been coming on because this is modular and fabric is made on looms. So since 25th December, we have been slowly commissioning looms in sets. And the textile, let's say the textile capacity is coming back on stream. And if you go further upstream, you have the yarn part. So this yarn capacity has also started. So basically, we are buying chips and making yarn. Now, the only part of the plant which remains and one of the most important parts of the plant that remains to be commissioned, recommissioned, is the polymerization. Now, the problem which we are facing is very unique. And this doesn't happen very often because these kind of events are maybe not even once in a lifetime. This has happened in 100 years. So the situation that we are faced with there is unique. So the manufacturer of the machinery was here. And I think by first week of March, even that part will be commissioned. So what we should see and what we should expect by, I am not disclosing anything which I should not, by common sense, that if the loss in December on account of plant closure was 10 crores, in January, it should be lower, and in February, it should be even lower. And in March, when the polymerization is commissioned, the loss should practically vanish, or very little of it should be left, a monthly loss. So that 10 should come down to something like 7, 8, and 8 should come down to 3, 4, and 4 might come down to 2, 3 by March. So that is how the profile of losses from the flood will happen, and I hope by March end, the plant would be running back to normal capacities. So this is the story on the Manali plant affected by flood. Yeah, next question.
Yes, so any guidance change on specialty chemicals and the refrigerant side?
Yeah, now let me also tell you another fact which is in the public space regarding refrigerant gases. I've been telling you that two, three things I've been telling you as a theme is R22 will be phased down over a period of time, phased out. R134A will be phased down, not phased out, but phased down. And the phase down will ultimately end at 2035, after which even 15% quantities will be allowed to be manufactured. And the one used for asthma, for the pharma piece, even that you will be able to make. So this you have to remember as far as 134A is concerned. Then I had also said that R22, which is used in air conditioners, is being replaced either by blends or by R32. We had converted our old 134A plant, or we were converting our 134A plant to R32. That plant is likely to be commissioned by March end. So this becomes the alternate for R22. So R22 will get replaced by blends and R32. So these, we are already there in blends. Blends means mixing of 2-3 gases. And we would be producing hopefully from April onwards R32. So we will be there in the replacing of R22 in a comprehensive manner. But what I wanted to tell you is U.S. has imposed anti-dumping on all HFC products other than 134A. So 134A anti-dumping has not been imposed, but all on air conditioning blends and R32, which is a separate standalone gas, anti-dumping has been placed. And I think it is in the last legs of approval. If that were to happen, then the market for our our R32 would be even better than what we planned, because then the United States market would also open. Plus, I would be able to blend my R32, which today I'm buying to make blends. And I'll be able to export the blends also to the States, to United States, because even they carry an anti-dumping for China. So this is the background scenario that is slowly emerging. Now, as regards 134 is concerned, you know that we have a plant of 12,500 tons. We had earlier indicated that we'll be able to sell 8,000 tons. Then over a period, we had slowly said that it may not be 8, it may be 7,400, 7,500 tons. I think we will be maintaining that particular estimate of 7,400 to 7,500 tons. Now, if you were to extrapolate this situation, and normally we don't give these extrapolations, but this is all in the public space, and I'm only connecting the dots for you. If you would recall, we had bought Dymel from DuPont. So till now, the gas, the Dymel Pharma, which is 134A Pharma, is produced by DuPont and sold under our brand name. We were setting up a plant in Dahej to make this gas on our own. That plant is also likely to be commissioned by March 16 this year. So what will happen if you extrapolate the situation is around 1,200 to 1,500 tons of my own 134A will be used in pharma use, which till today I am buying from DuPont. So if this year I am able to make 7,500 tons and sell and make and require 1,500 tons immediately for my next, for my pharma piece, I'm already reaching a production of 8,000 tons, 9,000 tons. And if you add the growth elements, 134A doesn't seem to be a shrinking business. Okay. So, as far as R22 is concerned, you know that licensing, the quota regime will come into place. There will be also, what has happened is charged ACs, which were ACs which are imported by Indian manufacturers, used to come with R22 loaded in it. Now they are coming empty. So the R22 required for those ACs would also have to be bought locally. So that should also act in our favor.
Thank you. The next question from line of Ranjit Sirumala from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
And, hi, Ranjit.
Congrats on a great set of numbers and best wishes to you for your future endeavors. So my question is mainly on the chemical business. Would it be fair to assume that the refrigerant R22 would have seen a decline in this particular quarter simply because of the high base? Because this is what we have seen in other companies as well.
Yeah, I mentioned that it has seen a reduction because of that export story I explained, that the countries are forced to export because they can't consume domestically.
So there would have been a decline in R22.
And therefore, there have been a decline in the export realization leading to a decline in performance.
Yeah, but there would have been 10% cut even in the domestic market as well.
That is also true. But whether there will be a decline in my manufacturing is not true, because I can use it for feedstock for my own goods.
But as far as R22, the BU for the refrigerant use is concerned, so there would have been a decline.
There would be a decline domestically, and it will keep declining as per the pattern which is defined.
Sure.
So then the manufacturers have two or three options, that either they can reduce their production to that level, or they can keep the production up and export the surplus, or they can use it for feedstock for some other product. We fall in the third category where we export and we sell internally for feedstock. But we are continuing to make close to 11,000 tons of R22, which is the capacity for R22.
So just drawing an extension, you have said that there is a pressure on the pricing globally because surplus and China surplus.
Yes.
So the same situation can be replicated in India as well, because we can see the dumping from the Chinese into India.
No, they can't dump into India. Yeah. They can't dump into India.
Why is that so?
That is the rule.
Oh,
So they are prohibited from dumping into India. So they are selling into countries where there was no manufacturing. Let's say Middle East.
Okay.
So Middle East was a consumer. So they have a quota for consuming. But they were not a manufacturer, so they have nothing to manufacture, no quota to manufacture.
Okay.
So I can sell to them up to their quota of consumption.
Good.
India already has a manufacturing quota which is much higher than the consumption quota.
Okay. And so the second question is on the specialty chemicals. You have been telling us the funnel thing. That
yeah.
goes from the funnel to the MPP and from MPT to dedicated plant. And
yeah.
of late we have seen a couple of products moving ahead from the MPP to dedicated
yes.
plant. So just wanted to understand more on that. If we have around 25 to 30 molecules in the MPP, what would be the future potential of some of those products going ahead?
I just had a look. I mean, this quarter we have sold 13 molecules.
New molecules?
Sold, no. Sold 13 molecules. One or two may be new, others may be old ones. This menu may keep changing. Two or three may drop out next quarter because they appear in this quarter because it was a campaign.
Yes.
Because it was a one-off transaction. Something else may come in. So what I need to see is that I maintain my capability to make different molecules and keep increasing that menu of offerings. Right? Now, every year you know that we have a funnel, we have lab, pilot, FMP and or MPP and then the dedicated plant. So our endeavor should be that every year, 2 to 3 dedicated plants get set up. What it actually, what you can infer from it is that I have visibility on orders or I have visibility on demand for at least next 2 to 3 years, then only I am setting up a dedicated plant. Or I have enough commitment or confidence with the buyers that I'll be able to sell so much quantity to them. So the trend will continue to make FMP and dedicated.
And more dedicated plant would be towards pharma?
Not necessary. But in this particular case, what you have seen, what I discussed just now, it was pharma. But it is not necessary that it will always be pharma. Because if an agro product shows me visibility of demand, I might put up a plant for agro as well.
Okay, and finally on this R32 anti-dumping duty, can you quantify the amount or would we be competing enough with the...
So it is actually quite recent, so I have not done enough research on it yet. How will it apply, who will it apply to, and how much will be the quantity and which companies, etc. But it is there in the public space, so you can probably look for it on Google in any case.
Sure, sir. And finally on R34, you said that it is under phase down. So has that started being implemented or it's a new thing?
No, R34, a phase down will start in 2020, I think.
So another 20 years from there.
So 5 years from now and then 15 years after that because 2035 it will finish.
Okay, sir.
And that is the US proposal. If the developing country's proposal is accepted, the whole thing is shifted by 15 years, 1-5.
So that is only in the developed countries. So that again...
No. It's always for... The proposal is for developed countries.
Yes.
And for others. But this is the proposal put up by the US to apply to all.
Okay.
If the developing countries have put up a proposal and that gets accepted for developing countries... That will be 2050, which means 35 years from now.
And have you got a repeat order from the Walmart?
Yes, we've got a repeat order from Walmart for twice the quantity.
Okay, so that is
one of the reasons chemical plant, chemical business this time showed a little bit of, was a little lower than expected because if you compare with last year, last year, Walmart happened in the December quarter.
Yes.
This year, Walmart is happening in the January to March quarter.
That brings back the R134 was on the lower side, R22 was,
that's right.
was on the lower side, so chemical woodiness would have been much, much higher.
Right. So, and what has happened is, since you asked about Walmart, the supplies have already started. And I told you it's more than double the, it's a double the quantity of last year, and about half the supplies have already taken place.
In that would be in the fourth quarter.
So that will, now the supplies are expected to be finished in the fourth quarter.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Ranjit.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to two per participant. We have the next question from line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
As you mentioned, sir, in the specialty chemicals, agro was slightly weak in the pharma makeup for the considered. That's why we reported a healthy growth. What is the current share between the pharma and agro, and can you quantify what will be the growth rate or decline in agro and pharma separately?
Yeah, March 15, pharma was 13% and or 17%, and agro was 83%.
Okay.
In September quarter end, because agro was not doing well and a particular product in pharma did better than expected, that mix suddenly jumped to 24 and 76. While our goal is to make 25% pharma by March 17.
Okay.
But this we achieved in September 15 itself because of two reasons that I mentioned. Now that pharma has done well and agro has come back in this quarter, I think the mix is around 21% of pharma. 21% of pharma.
Okay.
But this is, I'm not sure whether this is a mix which is right now a stable mix, because we have increased from 17 to 24 and now 21. And if agro does well in the fourth quarter also, then this mix might become 20. So you'll see a move from 17 to 20 on a year-on-year basis.
Sure.
Yeah, so don't take it as a cast-in-stone mix.
And has there been any change in the working capital cycle or the margin in the pharma versus agro in the specialty chemical?
What cycle?
Is there any difference between working capital cycle in the pharma versus agro, or the margin difference between the pharma and agro in the specialty?
Yeah, the margin is, see, the quantities in agro are much more.
Okay.
But the margins in pharma are much more.
Understood.
But also, I have explained this before also, that if a molecule today has good margin, doesn't mean that forever it will have good margin. Okay. So over some time, it will get commoditized because the pharma industry would have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to ensure is that on our canvas, we have enough molecules lying in various buckets of margins. So if I have 15 molecules today, I'm supplying regularly. Tomorrow, I should have 19 and then 25. But within those 25, there should be enough molecules in the high margin. There should be enough molecules in the medium margin, and there should be enough molecules in the high volume, low margin.
Understood.
Right? So that's how the, but the molecules in the canvas will keep changing.
Sure. Thanks. And my last question is in packaging side, how EBITDA per tonnage move QOQ or YOY?
So, okay, let me tell you that people keep questioning me about allocation of capital to PM, to packaging film.
Mm-hmm.
The results we are posting should give you confidence that our decision to put the packaging plant was not based on any whims and fancies. It was based on numbers and our expectations of the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, right now the global scenario of BOPET is that there is a lot of surplus.
Yes.
In India also there is a surplus, but the good part of India is that it is growing at anything between 12 to 15% per annum. The plant capacity, plants are working at close to 80-83% capacity, which is a good capacity level. The prices are not going up for a variety of reasons. But that doesn't mean that the future of this business looks bleak. Okay. The margins have naturally come off a little bit since last quarter and the quarter before that, because if you compare the EBIT levels of packaging films in domestic markets, you'll realize that they have been reducing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still, if you were to see on an ROC basis, a very attractive number On ROC, it is, I think, something like 21% if you see our own books. Okay. So you've got to look at it both from margin and ROC basis. So right now, we feel quite quite positive about this business. And the other thing I should tell you is, in India, 70% of the BOPET films fall in the plain vanilla category. Now, plain vanilla means 12 micron, and they are not chemically coated or coated in any form on either side. 70% is that business, and that is the that market, and it is in that segment that China competes. China does not have too much of non-plain vanilla. So let's say they have, most of what they produce is plain vanilla. In SRF's case, 30% is plain vanilla sales. Rest of it is non-plain vanilla.
Okay.
Either they are too thin, they are 8 micron, or they are coated on one side, or they are coated on the other side, or they are value added, so they are even higher than the other ones. So that is one thing which gets us better results. There are three things basically. The second is we export a lot of our produce. And thirdly, we deal with customers who are more organized. And they provide stable margins through the highs and lows. They don't actually change with highs and lows. And fourthly, at the four points, the fourthly is that we pride ourselves in operating excellence. And some of our plants are the lowest produce cost plants in India and maybe in the world. Cost per kilo. So our stand is that we should be the last man standing in cost competitiveness. So if our competitors make money, we should make a little more money. If they lose money, we should lose a little less money.
Understood. But are you able to, want to quantify the growth in the EBITDA per ton, YO or QOQ?
This is a very volatile business. It goes up and down. It's not very predictable. And as it is, we don't give too much of, in number terms, give guidance, projections.
No, I'm talking about current quarter, in third quarter.
Yeah.
When you compare with the third quarter FY15, how is the YOY growth in the EBITDA per ton?
EBITDA per ton. We've not done that math yet, but if I was to look at it, EBITDA per, we would be better. I can't put a number to it, and the reason I'm saying why we would be better, I'll explain also. Because since by and by last year, the net price realizations were better last December and then March, and then they started declining. So I believe that we would be about the same number as last year as far as what the market gives us.
Okay.
Okay. But on the other hand, I've improved my operating excellence and operating performance from last March to now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just in a way inferring that my EBITDA per ton would have improved over last December.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot. I will come
not,
with the...
Even though I've not done the numbers, but I'm just trying to, you know...
Sure. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and good luck to you, sir, in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Can you give me the capex for specialty chemicals year to date and how much you plan to do next year?
Yeah, this year, there are two things. One is capex, which is capitalized. And the other is capex, which is approved during the year. Okay? What we have been saying is that we will be approving anything between 250 to 300 crores every year as capex for Dahej. So when we say Dahej, we normally mean most of it will be specialty chemical. So till now, we have approved capex of about 176 crores on Dahej. And I still have a quarter left. Okay? Some of this 176 may be on fluorochemicals, but most of it is specialty chemicals. Now, as regards capitalization is concerned, we have capitalized about 123 crores, which may be some which were approved this year and capitalized, and some may be which were approved last year, work started last year and capitalized now. So there's an overhang of previous projects which gets capitalized this year. So I'm giving you both the figures. We've capitalized 123 crores in the H, and we've authorized fresh projects of 176 crores. But don't add them.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of that 176 may have got capitalized also.
Okay. Okay.
But we still have a quarter, so our objective is that we should keep announcing capexes and executing them efficiently.
Mm-hmm. For FY17 would be in similar 250 to 300 crore range.
I think so. There is nothing to change it. A lot depends on the market, and if agro turns around, there will be more opportunities. But as of now, the funnel looks healthy, funnel of molecules which we are exploring. And if that funnel looks healthy, the natural corollary is that you will put up, some of them will succeed and some of them you will put up plants.
Okay. Earlier, sir, you mentioned that there was some opportunistic manufacturing that you did, how much of, you know, so...
Some of it will continue this quarter also.
But then obviously it is sort of a non-recurring. Can you just call it out, the magnitude of it?
No.
Okay.
And the other thing is, you are somewhat in banking, right? All of us are in finance. Every time when we budget one-off events, right?
Yeah.
One-off deals, one-off proposals. But every year you budget one-off. So while you don't know which one-off it will be, but you still know there will be one-off.
Yeah, but the magnitude of it will help us understand better.
Yeah, so what I'm saying, a magnitude I will not tell you in any case. So what I'm saying is, if it is not this one-off, there will be some another one-off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so last question is...
And I'll tell you, because we are also struggling against the agro thing, so we are also being more innovative in what we offer to the customers. How we want to use our capacities. That is how this one came about, actually. Let's say one or two orders got cancelled and we saw some demand building up with one of our buyers. And we said, why don't we produce this? They said, I don't think you can. And maybe they wanted to introduce another vendor. We said, we will. And we delivered it in time. So two things happened. One is we delivered in time and made money. And we prevented them building or developing another vendor. Because we were already supplying that thing to him, but it was a peak. So it was a sudden spike. And we were able to make use of that spike.
Okay.
So some similar thing might happen tomorrow.
Yes. The other question is, you know, what is the difference between export realization of R22 and domestic realization of R22?
Oh. I will let you know. Just give me some time. By the time, I'll answer the other question.
Okay. And that is pretty much from my... You can answer it as part of the other questions.
Yeah.
From other participants. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from line of HR Gala from Panav Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Prasad. Congratulations for good number and wish you a very... happy and prosperous post-retirement life, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Sir, my question was, on February 8, Business Standard carried a news item that SRF to invest $58 million to set up a new plant at Indore, where IFC is likely to invest $40
million. Yeah,
is
yeah.
Is that correct news, sir?
Absolutely correct news, but not news.
Okay,
because it has lost its freshness and contemporariness.
Okay.
This was approved in the last board meeting.
Okay.
And this is the same BOPET plant we have been discussing in the last call and in this call.
Okay.
So this is about a 345 crore plant
mm-hmm.
on which IFC was keen to invest $40 million as debt.
Okay.
So I think they have repeated the old item and, you know, recirculated it.
Okay. It appears as though it is something new.
It appears as if it is new, and I heard that there was some discussion in amongst analysts that we are putting up yet another plant.
That is the impression we carried.
Exactly. So it is not yet another plant.
Okay.
It is a new plant which we are now. Let me also dwell on this and thoda sa aap logon ka little bit of apprehension that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I will try and remove that. People feel that in packaging film you don't make money, right? Which is not entirely true. You don't make money in some cycles, but you make more money in other cycles. Okay, but in our case, we have a plant already in Indore in the SEZ. Now, from SEZ, when I sell in the domestic area, whatever I sell suffers custom duty.
Correct.
That custom duty which I suffer is 20 crores.
Okay.
So, if I set up a plant in domestic tariff area,
correct,
I will not suffer that 20 crores.
Absolutely.
And that 20 crores on about 300 crores is 6%.
Mm-hmm.
So, 6% of my return,
mm-hmm,
I'm already getting on my investment, otherwise it would have gone outside the system. So that is, that changes the arithmetic.
Okay.
And I am then able to service increasing demand from domestic.
Okay.
As I dedicate this full plant to domestic.
Okay.
And the SEZ plant full to export.
Okay.
And in the process I make my 20 crores.
Okay.
So that is why for us it was not that bad a proposition.
Okay.
To set up a new plant.
Okay. So when this new plant in DTA will be commissioned?
This will be commissioned, I can comfortably say, before March 17.
March 17.
Scheduled date as per announcement is March 17.
Okay, okay.
The progress shows that it might be commissioned before that.
Okay, okay, okay. And sir, one clarification, that 48 crore and 43 crore what you mentioned,
yeah,
what was approved and what was spent, is it 43 included in 48 or both?
No, no, no. Two different projects.
Two different projects.
43 was approved earlier and got commissioned for 43. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, that 43 got commissioned.
Yeah.
It was approved earlier and got commissioned in January.
Okay.
And that is the raw material for the 48 crores,
mm-hmm,
which has got approved now.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for the good set of numbers, sir.
Thank you, Suresh.
And see, my question is on the quota that you have mentioned, sir, for the R22. You said 40,000 is the production quota for India and 10,000 is the consumption quota for India. So that means it will be equally distributed among the competitors in India?
No, it can't be equally because someone may not be producing which form the part of 40.
Correct.
And similarly, some people were not selling which form the part of 10. So in some basis, what, see, actually what the government did is they took out the average of 2 years.
Yes.
Both for production and for consumption.
Hmm.
So in the process of taking out the average, they had the individual manufacturers and production and sales figures.
Yes.
So I think it will get allocated in that ratio.
Okay. So in that case, what would be our external sales domestically and what would be the captive congestion of R22?
Our captive today is 3,500 tons, and as we put up more specialty plants, it will increase. So there could be a situation that I can set up, and this is not a future looking statement, it is just, I am again extrapolating. Common sense will say, if I put up enough specialty plants, I might have to increase my capacity of R22.
Okay. And what is the capacity that we are talking about for R32, sir?
R32, just now it's going to be 2,000 tons, but with bottlenecking and... See, it is an old 134A plant converter.
Yes, yes.
So the normal thing is that if you run it only in one mode, we should be able to produce 4,000 tons.
Okay. So,
we are thinking that we will start off by 500, 700 and then 2,000 tons. Now, with the development of anti-dumping in US,
hmm,
we might have to speed up this production.
Okay. And again, continuing with the same anti-dumping thing in US, so can we see a kind of a dumping by Chinese player for R-134A in India?
Or R-130, already something is happening, plus there's anti-dumping duty from India on certain manufacturers. And today, with our new plant, I can meet China at their terms. Hello? Hello? Did you hear me?
Yes, yes.
That I can meet and be able to sell matching Chinese prices at their terms and still make money.
Okay.
Because the new plant which we have, 12,500 tons, is an efficient plant, and the cost, we have been working on its cost of production.
Okay.
And we are at a position where we can meet China even if they dump in India.
Okay, so we will be maintaining the same kind of market share what we are currently having for R134A in India.
I would say so because we today have 53%.
Correct.
So I think, see, there is nothing which is static.
Correct, sir.
Right. So I can only say that if I've increased from my today, sorry, not 53 is my 134A share in the retail market, which have increased from 47% to 53%.
Okay.
Right? So, which has led to my total 134A share to around 47%. So there is no reason why if I worked hard at increasing it to these levels, I should be able to maintain it.
Yeah, okay.
And the point is, if 134A anti-dumping is applied in US, like for other HFCs, and once there was an attempt earlier also, so if that happens, then I'll export.
Yeah. So, my last question, sir. For dedicated plants, normally, what are the kind of a capex that you normally allocate?
I think it's in the region of about, I would say, 50 to 70 crores, normally. Depends on the capacity, technology, number of reactions. It's too variable.
Okay.
But I'm just taking the example of the last one we have approved is 48 crores.
Okay. And annually three kind of a dedicated plan that we see adding.
Should be. That is the general goal.
Okay.
And also let me tell you, and this is for clarification for people who have not attended calls this call earlier, that even if I make a dedicated plant, the risk in this business is that that molecule might go out of fashion.
Yes.
But the plant will not go out of fashion because most of my equipment can be used to make something else. Okay, so the danger is, if you make a dedicated plant and the molecule goes out of fashion, normally one would believe that your equipment becomes redundant.
True.
But the equipment does not become redundant.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, thank you, sir. Thanks a lot. Wish you all the best for your future endeavors.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Pragya Vishwakarma from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations on good set of numbers.
Good evening, thank you.
Yeah. I just have two questions regarding the, commissioning of that 43 crores plant. It will be in March, right?
No, it's commissioned in January.
Okay, commissioned in January, and the 48 crore plant for which it will supply the raw material, what is the status on that particular
plant? No, that has just got approved.
Okay, so we don't...
we are already making this pharma product.
Okay.
I'm making it in a multi-purpose plant.
Okay.
It has a raw material requirement which we were making earlier also, and now we have increased the capacity with this 43 commissioning.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we want to transfer this product from a multi-purpose plant to a dedicated plant.
Okay.
Because we expect greater demand coming in the coming time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, once that happens, then MPP will revert to its MPP role.
Yeah.
And then dedicated will produce the final product.
Okay. So, this 48 crore will be for that particular dedicated
plant. Yeah. So, that's the finished product.
Okay.
43 was the raw material to the finished product.
Okay.
Now the date, I think expected date for commissioning of the new plant,
mm-hmm.
48,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we'll, I think it is in 2000, February 2017.
Okay, Feb 2017. And just one last question, sir. It was mentioned that our 134A plant was converted for R32 plant, or I just misheard it?
It was converted. We had an old plant of R134 at Bhiwadi.
Okay.
That was a 4,500-5,000 ton plant.
Mm-hmm.
So about 2 quarters back, we approved a 12 crore capex
mm-hmm.
for converting it from R134A to 32. Because 32 is the alternate gas for R22.
Yeah.
So we had approved a capex. I think originally the commissioning date was, I think, April or May.
Mm-hmm.
My belief is it will get commissioned by March.
Okay. And the currently we are producing around 12,500. The capacity for 134A is 12,500.
That's right. And we expect to sell 7,400 or 7,500 tons by the year end.
Okay. And linking to that, the the Dymel plant.
Yeah.
So we buy some of 134A internally from that particular plant.
Today we buy everything from DuPont.
Okay.
We sell it.
Okay.
So once our pharma plant, which is just a downstream plant to 134A, so where 134A ends, the pharma plant starts.
Okay.
So all it requires is further purification and distillation.
Okay.
So we are setting up those distillation towers, which should get commissioned by March 16.
Okay.
It will take us 1 year for approvals for FDA and GCPA, etc.
Okay.
GMP. So, by 17, we should be using our own 134A for pharma purposes.
Okay. And the supply from Dymel is 1,500 for 134A?
No, that depends on whatever orders we get them.
Okay.
So, it should be in the region of about 1,200 tons a year. Right now, I think we are doing around 1,100 something per year.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank
when Dymel was selling it on its own, their own sales were in the region of 1,000 to 1,200 every year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a last question from line of Jishan Bhagwan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I had two questions in my mind. First was, could you just provide us with the gross margins average range for the different businesses that you have?
Impossible.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll tell you, don't go for that. I don't know. Have you been attending my calls earlier?
No, sir. This is my first.
So don't get complicated. Whatever is there on the on our published accounts now for every quarter,
okay.
Pick up any measure. Pick up EBIT. EBIT is there and it is transparent. Pick up the segment-wise EBIT and divide it by sales. You will keep getting a good trend over a period of time whether that business is doing well or badly.
All right.
Okay. So that will give you some uniformity. Plus, there is no messing up with odd explanations. Plus, it has gone through some rigor of audit also, or at least a limited review.
Okay, fine, sir.
It's a good measure.
Okay.
So, like if you compare technical textile, you'll automatically come to know that this quarter we have not done well. 5.5% is the EBIT margin. Last year it was, last time it was 13 or 15 or 16. So, automatically you know. So, within which, and most of these businesses have one or two which are anchor businesses. And the whole business, whole result can shift because of that anchor business.
Okay, fine. Fine. And sir, there was one more thing. I was just running through your annual report, which...
Our question didn't have two parts, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So, it has nylon compounding chips as one of your sales item.
Yes.
So, do you produce it internally or do you, buy it? Like, how does it work?
Okay. In our, which business?
The technical textiles business.
Technical textiles. We make our chips. We make N6 chips.
Okay, and that the raw material for that is caprolactam, right?
Caprolactam is the raw material.
Okay.
So we polymerize on our own, and that is the plant which I said has not started.
Okay, sir. Fine.
That is the most complex and toughest plant to restart.
Okay, fine, sir.
Thank you. Take a last question from the line of Ms. Chintan Modi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just last question.
Chintan, you should not have questions. You should be addressing this call.
Sure, sir. From next time. Sir, wanted to understand about the currency volatility. Because in the South African plant, because we have seen a lot of volatility over there, and how does that impact our operations over there?
Actually, most of these operations are, in a sense, like some bankers say, dollarized. So I buy my chips which are dollar denominated and I sell my selling price which is like landed price of imported goods in South Africa.
Okay.
So what happens is you actually make some more money if the local currency depreciates, you make more money on the margin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, if at all, if the rand drops, which it has been dropping, if the South African rand drops, you should see better results.
Okay. So, hello.
Yeah.
So, when we convert those results into Indian currency...
Now, just look at it. Suppose 100 rand gives me $7.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 100 rand gives me $6.5.
Hmm.
The rupee is also depreciating.
Hmm.
So earlier the $7 would have given me some rupees and then the $6.5 would have given me the same rupees. So the question is, it is the interse depreciation of rupee and the rand. Because dollar is only an exchange currency in between.
Sure.
Okay. So, but because rupee is depreciating slower than rand, of course in rupee terms, we will lose a bit.
Got it. Thanks, sir. That's it from me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, Mr.
Okay. Bye. Okay, now.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you everybody for being on the call. Bye.
Yeah.